wins in Phoenix to keep Penske perfect. And after four races, we get some separation between the haves and the have-nots. These are our big stories on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Coming up on this edition of Fast Talk, we'll react to Ryan Blaney's win in the desert as he's the first driver not named Tyler Reddick to win a race this year. So we'll break that all down. We'll also take a look at the top 16 and then who's out of the top 16 that could fight their way in. Matt Colleague of Colleague Racing also drops by and tells us what's going on with their new Ram truck program. But first up, let's hear the last lap of the action from Phoenix.
Bell's going to give it one more shot. He'll dial up the low lane of the racetrack. He'll send it hard into turn number three, but it's not enough. Ryan Blaney comes out of turn number four, crosses the start finish line. Ryan Blaney wins the Straight Talk Wireless 500 at Phoenix.
Mike Bagley of the Motor Racing Network with the call at Phoenix. Let's get Blaney's reaction in victory lane.
Jonathan made a great call for two, you know, the last caution, and we're able to get the lead there and then hold the 20 off. I don't know how many more laps I could have held them off, but there was enough laps to do it.
Didn't come easy, Alexis, for one Ryan Blaney.
Certainly not. I think they had two loose wheels and lots of problems on pit road. He passed a lot of cars. I heard, I don't know, I think it was in like the 40s, the number of cars that he passed yesterday. So, no, it was not easy for Ryan Blaney to end up in victory lane yesterday. But we know how good he is at that racetrack. We know how good Penske is. So, at the end of the day, it wasn't a big surprise, I think, that he won. But how he had to do it was extremely impressive.
Brad Gilley, as Alexis alluded to, a lot of stats heading into this race showing that Ryan Blaney should have been the prohibitive favorite all along, and he made it pay off. It's funny how one driver gets the mastery of a certain place.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. He had four runner-up finishes at Phoenix Raceway before finally winning there back in the fall. And let's be honest, that win back in the fall was definitely a late race caution that brought out an overtime finish, and he passed Brad Keselowski pretty much at the start-finish line. But then to back it up and get his next win there after passing, and the number was 49 cars throughout the entirety of that race, was just amazing and awesome. And you think about this, nine races in the next-gen car there, four runner-up finishes, and two wins. That's incredible. Only one of those finishes out of the nine outside of the top five, and that's when they failed an engine last year in this race.
Ryan Blaney, one of the guys, not happy that the finale is going to be at Homestead this year, but the finale is not a winner-take-all. We've got a long way to go for that. Tyler Reddick was still part of the story, Alexis, even though he didn't get a legendary fourth win in a row. He was part of the equation throughout the entire race.
Yeah, he was. And honestly, I was not I don't know if I expected that, to be honest with you. Like, obviously, he's had a fantastic year with three wins in a row, but you had two super speedways and a road course. I didn't know exactly how that team would perform at Phoenix, but he was in the mix all day. You're right. He ended up finishing eighth and is still the points leader by a whopping, I think, 60 points right now. So he is keeping hold of the top spot tightly.
In that clip from Motor Racing Network, you heard Mike Bagley refer to Christopher Bell at the end of the race. Mike made it sound closer than it actually was. Good job, Mike. we've all done that. But, Brad, it's funny how you go to certain racetracks, and we talked about Ryan Blaney, but also Christopher Bell is another person in the equation. When you talk about Phoenix, he's a guy that you automatically pencil that's going to be running toward the front.
Yeah. I mean, look, he was going there. There are so many storylines at the end of the race of what could happen. And obviously a Penske perfect weekend with two poles and two wins between IndyCar and Cup. For Christopher Bell, he was going for his third consecutive spring race win. And let's be honest, when it comes to Phoenix Raceway, since we started the Gen 7 race car, they were fast there in the first test session, and they've been fast all the time. They've had all kinds of wacky things happen, like brake rotors, wrecks in championship races, all kinds of different things. And, you know, look, for them, it's great. Ryan Blaney even acknowledged he thought that Bell was the fastest car, but not a fast car contest, and they came close. They needed a few more laps.
So a lot of discussion leading into this race and then next week at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, which you can hear on PRN, all of the action from that beautiful mile-and-a-half racetrack. Alexis, a lot of folks saying, okay, now the real season is starting, and we'll have a better feel for things after we leave Vegas. Do you buy into that?
I think we're going to need a little bit more than just Vegas. I think we're going to need maybe a 3 or 4 race data set. And I say that because, I mean, you look at what happened at Phoenix, and I don't know. I mean, it was a good race. I felt like it was very entertaining. There were lots of storylines, exactly like Brad said, but I don't know that anything happened there that really surprised anybody as far as like who ran well and who didn't run well. So I don't know if we technically learned anything. I think we're going to need to see how these teams react to 2, 3, 4 different races on these type of ovals to decide, okay, well, who has got the momentum? Who is trending in the right direction? Who is consistently doing well on these types of races before we can decide, you know, who the front runners really are besides Tyler Reddick and his crazy boatload of points.
Brad Gilley, one of the things that we did see, though, is this race with increased horsepower. It had a little bit more oomph under the hood. Also, Goodyear brought a softer tire that was impactful. We had 12 cautions, I think, in part result because of those two changes. What do you think there was? Was there a net gain because of these new rules and regs at Phoenix?
I think the horsepower helped. And last year in this race, if you remember, they had an option tire. They had two different tires that they ran. This is the option tire. This is also the same tire combination that they ran in the season finale last year at Phoenix, where, oh, guess what? We had more teams failing their tires with over-aggressive setups. But coming back with more horsepower, you would think that some teams would have been a little more conservative. Obviously, they weren't, because even though we had 12 cautions, not all of those were for failed tires, but we also had more failed tires than what brought out cautions. And the over-aggressiveness of the teams really bit a lot of people in the pants when it was all said and done at Phoenix. But for us, as the viewing and listening and ticket-buying public, it was awesome. I love seeing all of that. I always want to see people push it over the limits, because it's all of those little reminders that we know they're pushing it to the limit.
Risk versus reward.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You think about the fact that you had all of those tire failures and those limit-pushing decisions that those crew chiefs made. Some of them worked out, you know what I mean? And we just didn't see the carnage from that because they didn't have a blown tire. They didn't have an issue. There was strategy, certainly. You know, look, the winning car took two tires in Ryan Blaney and Christopher Bell, who was by far, I think, the favorite during the race. He led the most laps, I think 176 laps. He took 4 tires, wasn't able to overcome that because of some of those late race cautions. So I think yesterday was very entertaining because of the gambles that teams were taking and then, you know, the subsequent events that happened after that.
Coming up on this show, we'll take a look at the drivers that are outside of the top 16, who can fight their way in after 4 races. We're starting to get some shape and form into the point standings. We'll also talk about the NASCAR IndyCar doubleheader weekend. We'll visit with Matt Collig from Collig Racing. But before all of that, let's give you our Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. That Toyota did not win, but they dominated the top 10. This is remarkable. Christopher Bell was second. Fourth was Ty Gibbs. Second week in a row, Ty Gibbs has finished fourth. Denny Hamlin rallied for fifth. Bubba Wallace, sixth. Tyler Reddick, eighth. Eric Jones was 10th. Riley Herbst was 18th. John Hunter Nemechek was 25th. And way down at the back of the pack, 37th, was Chase Briscoe. Briscoe off to a crippling start to the season. That is your Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacing.com, USA. When we come back, we'll visit with Matt Collig.
What makes Toyota Racing Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper, rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X. Protect your engine to the max with ZMAX.
I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solutions Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. That's 800-396-0150.
It's Fast Talk here on PR and the Performance Racing Network. I'm Doug Rice, joined by Alexis Erickson and Brad Gilley. And we are thrilled to have Matt Colleague of Colleague Racing join us, entrepreneur extraordinaire and the guy who's bringing Ram back to the fold in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Matt, thanks a lot for taking time to be with us.
Had a great race weekend there in Phoenix, and just to be glad to be back at it here on Monday.
You know, Matt, we're four races into the NASCAR Cup Series season, and we see AJ Allmendinger is still firmly in the top 16 when you're looking at the Chase standings, as they are, of course, only four races in. You know, Colleague Racing has been around for, I think, what, a decade now. You guys have become proven winners. Talk about, you know, where you see the Cup Series team right now this season and what your trajectory is.
Well, I mean, we're feeling really, really, really good about it. Like you said, AJ, top 13. I mean, Ty's had some good finish. I mean, he's had a good start to the season as well. So of what we have in the Cup Series and what we're dealing with, you know, we feel really, really good. You know, coming into the strangest part about Colleague Racing this year, and for me in NASCAR, is not being in the Saturday races, not being in the O'Reilly Series. It's just a strange, you know, situation just watching those guys. But you know, having five trucks in the truck series, you know, five of those Ram trucks in the truck series is pretty amazing. It's been a huge undertaking, as you guys know. You know, but, you know, we're three races in the truck series and we're having fun and excited. You know, when you talk about organizations, and we've been in, this is our 11th year. You know, we started in the O'Reilly series with one car, you know, back 11 years ago, and then grew to two and then grew to three and then started messing around in the Cup Series. And so, you know, here we sit, you know. The Phoenix weekend was obviously all about Penske and 60 years in the sport. And now he owns IndyCar. Now they win the IndyCar race. Now they win the NASCAR race. And, you know, so we aspire, I aspire, you know, to be just like Roger, and he's done great things in business, and we aspire to do great things in racing. I mean, we've won 27 Xfinity races. We've won two Cup races. You know, 3 weeks ago in Daytona was our very first truck race. So, you know, with five of those things and us just dipping our toe in it right now, and then, you know, we're going full go. Ram wants to go full go. We want to go full go. So we want to go win races and start to dominate that that truck series.
Yeah, you say dipping your toe. It's not like you're doing that in the shallow end. You guys pretty much dove head first in the deep end. Five trucks for an organization that didn't even have a single truck in their race shop. But, man, Ram's really gone all in, haven't they?
All in. You know, and they're a great organization. It's pretty cool when you start to work. You know, we're even with a new OEM and a new excited brand. I mean, I think Ram is just the coolest badass American brand, you know, that we have in this country. And so it fits right in with NASCAR, and it fits right in with College Racing and how we roll. And so, I mean, couldn't be more excited. If you guys saw, and I know you did, just all the excitement around, you know, Ram's return in Daytona, what we had going on that Friday night in Daytona with Tony Stewart and all the celebrities surrounding that car or that truck. And, you know, and our performance, and we've had three top tens just getting in there. And like you said, Brad, we didn't even have a truck. I don't think we had our first truck built until December, honestly. And so it's a giant undertaking. All the men and women at College Racing just worked. I mean, I can't even tell you how much overtime I paid, you know, getting these trucks, you know, ready for the, you know, for the races. And then in the truck series, having three races in a row. And so you've got, you know, you get five trucks, but you need more than five, right? Especially Daytona going, I mean, so you need more than 15 really to start the season. So it's fun for me to watch. It's not, I don't know how necessarily fun it is for everybody at the shop, but they have had fun. It was very gratifying to see. And it's fun building something, you know, starting from scratch and then seeing the trucks on the track and then just seeing all the buzz around it. I know Ram is extremely excited and extremely happy with what we've got going on. So great start to the season.
You know, just listening to you talk about all that and all the work that went into getting the Ram truck program off the ground, and you threw a reality competition in the mix too. Talk about that.
That's right. So it's called, if you haven't watched it, it's called Ram Race for the Seat. It's on YouTube, and it premiered on Fox like a few weeks before the, you know, Daytona. And, you know, I mean, essentially we decided, and Ram decided, that we want to make a splash. We want to do things totally different. I mean, things, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm definitely part of NASCAR. I love NASCAR. Things have been done. If you watch things have been done the same way for the last, I don't know, 78 years. And, you know, you try to think outside the box sometimes about how can we get drivers? How can we do things a little bit different? How can we make a splash? How can we market and advertise a little bit different? So, you know, we came up with Ram with this reality show. We're going to put 15 drivers, up and coming drivers from all over the country, you know, in a house for 15 or for 3.5 weeks. And, you know, we're going to take away their cell phones. We're going to take away TVs. We're going to take away radios. And then we're going to put them through essentially a 3.5 week job interview to see who one of our next drivers is going to be. And, you know, we put them through 6 or 7 competitions where they had to compete in different cars, like legend cars and late models and go-karts and doing commercials and press conferences, and just to see see who could compete. So they were racing for the seat. So the winner was Mini Tyrell. He's in our 25 truck. So we have 5 trucks. And so one of those is he's not in our 25 truck. He's in our 14 truck. And one of those is our, you know, winner of the race for the seat. But if you haven't watched it, go to our YouTube channel on Ram Race for the Seat, and there's 8 episodes, and it's entertaining. Myself and Chris Rice and Ty Norris, you know, we're really the commentators, and it was fun.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And what a great way to allow someone to earn a seat in a NASCAR race truck. I thought that was really cool. Matt, one of the really awesome things about just following you on social media, watching the way you maneuver around the racetrack and within the sport, are the things you do outside of the sport. And a lot of charitable things happening with colleague giving. What can you tell us about that? What are some of the things you guys are working on?
You know, I think it's an important part of, I've always thought that even in business, as you start to make money and your company starts to do well, it's really important to give back, you know, to the community and give back even to people that support you. So I think it's really amazing what the NASCAR Foundation does in giving back. I don't know that people realize just how much they do. You know, it's like you have so many fans in NASCAR and they are so important to this. They are the most important thing to the sport of NASCAR. So it's cool that NASCAR in general, you know, gives back to the community. But, you know, we're way involved in the foundation. We were just down, especially in Daytona, with Speediatrics. We do a Fun Day Festival down there every year. But I know we're doing 16 of them. I know the foundation's doing 16 you know, Fun Day Festivals. We're essentially, and we filmed, you know, with Kim Kuhn. She came down to the race shop. We, myself, Chris Rice, our pit crews, some of our drivers do videos and the kids watch it. So if we were in Phoenix this week, I know we had a Fun Day Festival there. The kids all week watch videos on what it takes to be on a NASCAR team, whether you're a driver, whether you're an owner, whether you're a pit crew member, whether you're a PR, you know, agent, you know, they learn what it takes to do that. And then they come to the track that week and we run them through, you know, little drill. They do relay races and, you know, we give them things. At Daytona, we actually gave these kids bikes. We went down and had 20 people from Ohio, from college companies, build bicycles for these kids. And then on stage gave 150 kids, you know, new bicycles, new bicycle helmets. We gave them new sneakers. So it's really cool. One of my favorite things all year is National Teddy Bear Day, where we've teamed up with the NASCAR Foundation and we give away teddy bears. I know this year, I think we gave away 5,000 teddy bears to 100 hospitals, you know, throughout North America. I know we're doing it in Canada and the United States and Mexico. And that's a really cool thing. But no, we do most of our charity work up in Northeast Ohio with colleague giving. And, you know, it's been fun. It's important to give back.
Matt, I've always admired your tenacity, taking on 5 teams for Ram to start a brand new season. That may be at the top of the totem pole for you. Thanks for spending time with us and congrats on getting off to a great start. We're looking forward to talking to you when the first time that one of those Rams wins a race this year.
Let's go. It'll be pretty soon. Let's go.
Matt Colleg, Colleg Racing, join us here on Fast Talk.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This April at Bristol, 750 horsepower meets soft tires. More power, less grip. Drivers wrestling machines that don't want to be tamed. When the engines roar and the rubber wears, you don't get calm, you get chaos. Slide jobs, fenders bending, tempers rising. It's the Food City 500 weekend, April 10th through the 12th at Bristol Motor Speedway. And it's where race fans will be. Bring yourself, bring your friends, bring your cooler. Just don't blink. It's not just a race.
It's Bristol, baby!
I'm Eric Jones, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on goprn.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Greatly appreciate Matt Colick for stopping by the show and telling us what's going on. The guy's bitten off a big chunk there with five Ram trucks to compete in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. We'll see how all of that plays out throughout the year. They got a lot of races left to go. Guys, we are now four races into the season. We finally got a new winner who wasn't Tyler Reddick, with Ryan Blaney winning out at Phoenix. But I want to look at who's below the top 16, because that's the cut line now to make the chase. Realistically, you're probably going to be in the top six in points to win the title, but making the chase is going to be important. Brad, I want to start with you. Give me a driver that is currently 17th or worse that is eventually going to wind up making the big show.
The first one I'm going to look at is just outside of that top 16. And that's Ryan Preece, who's sitting in 18th. I actually feel like this is a team that last year, I mean, he had a career year, his first year with RFK Racing. And I do think this year, look, at one point he was going spinning, off the left front fender of Connor Zilich in this race and still managed to salvage a 13th place finish. I actually feel like this is a team that has the capability to put their heads down and race and just simply have good finishes. I think they're just going to grind it out and actually make the chase this year.
All right. Ryan Preece from RFK Racing.
I could see
that.
It's
a Brad Gilley vote. Alexis?
I'm going to go just a little bit further down from that, and I'm going to single out Ross Chastain. I think when you look at Ross and you think about his body of work and what he's capable of and what that team at Trackhouse is capable of, I think he absolutely can work his way back up. Yesterday, he had some unfortunate circumstance with Joey Logano making a few bad moves and being, an unfortunate bystander of that, and I think relegated himself to like a 28th place finish, which has got him down in the points a little bit. But he is somebody who I think can kind of grind this out, can be consistent, top 10 finishes for a while, and work his way back up into the top 16.
All right, so far we've got Ryan Preece, who currently is 18th, Ross Chastain, who is 23rd in points. Brad, do you have another likely candidate that's going to catapult up into the top 16?
Yeah, I'm digging way deep, and I'm going to go with Chase Briscoe. Look, I know they're 33rd in the standings. We're also only four races in. We have 22 for them to climb. They were too good last year. And when I say they were too good last year, they were too good last year when it counted. And that was actually the final third of the season in their push to making the championship four at Phoenix Raceway. And now we don't have that. We have a chase, but I do feel they're running well, and I think Toyota so far in four races is showing the most speed. They have the most potential, and guess what? We're at a mile and a half this weekend. When it came to 1.5-mile performance last year, Chase Briscoe was the best overall with an average finish of ninth. They're going to make some big things happen and climb fairly quickly, I believe.
All right, Alexis, they've stumbled out of the gate being Chase Briscoe. Is there anyone else? And if there is not, you do not have to make a choice.
Yeah, it looking at these names, I'm going to look based off of organization, because I'm going to look at somebody and I'm going to say, okay, based off of who they race for, I think there's the potential for them to potentially work their way up. even though it's going to be a long haul. And that's Austin Cindric. I think, you know, he drives for an organization in Penske who we know has a clear record of, you know, being consistent, winning races, doing those things. He is the car that is typically the one to not be consistent and do those things when you're looking at Team Penske as a whole. However, he has the same potential as the other two drivers for that organization to get back up there. And so if he works hard, I think he can do it.
All right, Brad, I'm going to bundle here, and I'm not selling insurance. But I'm going to give you three drivers that are mired. You know, we only use that word as a negative.
Mired.
You're never mired positively. If you're mired.
I feel like that is a negative.
It is. Yeah. It's bad. Yeah. It's bad. You're stuck in the mud. And mired. 31st, 32nd, 33rd, Josh Berry, Cody Ware, Chase Briscoe. I'm going to leave Chase Briscoe alone because you said he would make it out.
All right.
Berry, Ware, Zilich, Custer, Bowman. What is their fate? Are they all going to be mired?
Oh, man. All right. I think if we're bundling that Connor Zilich has the best opportunity to progressively work his way up in the standings right now.
I hear what you did there.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
that. They owe
that.
Us money now.
hey, look, I'm not hanging Connor Zilich hat solely on road courses. Fact of the matter is we have three more to go still just in the first half of the season, and then we're done road racing this year with the Roval going back to the Oval now in the fall. But I do feel that Connor Zilich, you don't win 10 races and come in here and be mediocre. I think he is a driver who could potentially, they've gotten off to a rough start, earn his way a spot into that chase. It's not looking good right now because the deeper the hole you dig, the taller the ladder you're going to need to climb out of it. But I think out of the ones you just mentioned, Connor Zilich is the only one that I could see moving forward in a good way.
I will say this. I really admire Connor Zilich's talent level, but we all took it. We all, watch out. It was tough coming out of the box. He'll get better. It's not going to be this ragged at the start, but man, when you were down in 34th after four races, it's going to be tough to make it up there.
It is. And I understand where Brad's coming from when he talks about, you know, you don't win 10 races and then turn around and be a mediocre driver. But there is something to be said about rookies struggling, no matter what their talent is. I mean, look at Ty Gibbs. He won 7 races and then went into the Cup Series, and he still has yet to win a race. So, I mean, it's just a totally different animal when you come from that support series of O'Reilly to the Cup Series. And I feel like there's possibility he could continue to struggle just because sometimes that's the fate of the rookie struggle.
You can average 25 points as a point guard on a junior varsity team, and you make it up to varsity, and suddenly you're scoring 5 points a game and spending a lot of time on the bench. Connor Zilich will be a bona fide, I'm going to even say star in this game, and sometimes I think we're too liberal in using that, but it may take a while to get there. But those are some of the teams that are struggling. Now, to do that,
yes,
to
conversely,
make room for these people above the line,
kick them out.
Who gets kicked out of the top 16? We're going to make you wait and find out.
Listen, were you forced into getting a solar contract and now you just don't want it anymore? Maybe the solar company misled you. Or is your solar contract buried with hidden fees? Are you not saving the amount of money you thought you would on your energy costs? Don't worry. At the Solar Exit Hotline, we can help you cancel your solar contract, even if the panels are already installed. Our experienced legal team will review your contract and help you cancel it, possibly saving you thousands of dollars. You got to call right now for complete details. So listen, if you're not happy with your solar contract for any reason, we are here to help you cancel it. Call the Solar Exit Hotline now for immediate options to help you exit your solar contract. This call is 100% free.
800-471-3491. 800-471-3491. 800-471-3491. That's 800-471-3491.
I'm Austin Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
This is PRN's David Stiles. Life is always moving, and so are you. So what you need is PRN's mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcasts while you're on the go. You also get station listings and on-demand access to your favorite PRN shows like Fast Talk, Garage Pass, and At the Track. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips by downloading the PRN mobile app today. Available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
This April at Bristol, 750 horsepower meets soft tires. More power, less grip. Drivers wrestling machines that don't want to be tamed. When the engines roar and the rubber wears, you don't get calm, you get chaos. Slide jobs, fenders bending, tempers rising. It's the Food City 500 weekend, April 10th through the 12th at Bristol Motor Speedway. And it's where race fans will be. Bring yourself, bring your friends, bring your cooler. Just don't blink. It's not just a race.
It's Bristol, baby!
So we talked a moment ago about the teams that could rally and the drivers that could move up from below the cut line at 16 and make their way to the chase. And I realize we're just four races in, but as we move through the season, these lines will move much slower. By the time we get to Charlotte Motor Speedway and the Coca-Cola 600, you're not going to have a whole lot of movement.
No.
Because that's just the way the math works. So for these other teams that we talked about to move up above top 16, give me one right now, Alexis Erickson, that's in the chase at the top 16 that could possibly fall out.
Well, I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit here, and I'm going to go with 16th place, and that's Brad Keselowski. I think, we obviously have seen from him over the years lately that he doesn't have the same competitive ability or advantage that he did when he was driving for Team Penske. Obviously, he has won races. He won, I think, one race at RFK and can be competitive, but can he be competitive enough, consistently enough, to keep himself in that top 16 with these other drivers below doing their best to work their way up? I think it's just only nature that he's most likely going to fall out.
All right, Brad Gilley. Brad Keselowski, Alexis says, could fall out. You got somebody that could tumble down the hill right after him?
I do. And it could happen this weekend. I mean, the fact of the matter is there are 15 points that separate 17th from 6th right now. But A.J. Allmendinger, to me, is it's the easy one to pick, and that's very objectively. The fact of the matter is, and we just talked with Matt Colling, and we talked about some Cup successes. We also talked a lot about Ram. And guess what? On the Cup side of things, they're a Chevrolet team. Guess what they don't get on the Cup side of things? Any support. It's admirable what they've been doing so far in the first four races of the year. But once we start to get going here between Vegas and Darlington and Martinsville and Bristol Motor Speedway and all of that, that's going to be a tough thing to hang on to. So I don't see A.J. Allmendinger or Colling being able to hang on.
Early on, I see some fracturing here with the big three that we talk about all the time. Penske, Gibbs, and Hendrick. Penske should get two teams into the chase. Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, I think that's a mortal lock. Austin Cindric, a little bit more on the fence. Hendrick Motorsports probably gets three teams in. Alex Bowman not being one of those. He's already missed a race. We don't know about the prognosis going forward. And I think even if he does come back and he runs reasonably well, they're so far behind, he's not going to climb up. Gibbs right now, they've got a team that's in trouble in Chase Briscoe. Ty Gibbs is still an unproven product. Let's say 2311 gets in two cars. So they get in Tyler Reddick and Bubba Wallace. That is 10 cars that make the chase, eight of them coming from the big three. Brad Gilley, who is the next most likely to sneak somebody in?
Well, Alexis mentioned Ross Chastain, so I'm going to say Trackhouse, but right now Shane Van Gisbergen sits fifth in the standings. I feel like, boy, if you just go out there and get a bunch of base hits right now and perform well where you can perform well, road courses and speedways right now, I think Trackhouse is the next mortal lock as an organization, and probably not just with one driver.
All right, so if they get two in, if Trackhouse gets two, let's say Chastain rallies and Shane Van Gisbergen does what he's doing right now, which is incredible. He's fifth in points. That's 12 slots taken up in the chase.
Yeah, you've got Michael McDowell, who's sitting eighth.
Yep.
And he's proven that he can be consistent. Obviously, he's not in one of the top three team cars, but he's a veteran. He's been in this game for a long time. He has moments of brilliance where we see him perform really well. If he can continue to keep up the consistency, I think he, you know, he's solidly in. He's an eighth right now. So I think he's somebody that could maybe take up one of those last few spots.
Things can be curious to watch because just getting to the chase doesn't get you a lot.
No.
You got to get to the chase with some oomph. You got to come in and have a realistic shot at going after the title. And I'm curious to see what that number's going to be. Is that going to be four cars? Is that going to be a half dozen? That's part of the beauty of this year.
You and I both, you know, have heard recently about some statistics that were run, looking at the different I think standings from years past, and you have to be like in the top three or even like the top six. Like if you start the chase seventh, the odds of you being able to leapfrog your way up to first and win and become champion are so small.
Brett, you got an idea on that number?
As by the time we get to the chase, I would agree. I might even take it up a little further and say fifth or sixth. Just because, and I get that points are going to be a little tighter, but they're not going to be tight like they were back when we had a chase before and everyone's got reset to the same number. So, yeah, I think fifth, sixth, seventh, if you're anything beyond that, you don't have a likely hope of something happening for you to win the title.
We've still got room for big shifts in the points. Mm-hmm. Just four races in, but as every race goes by, those shifts become a little bit smaller and a little lower on the Richter scale. We'll be back with more Fast Talk after this.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Fireworks in the air here at National Super Speedway.
Reddick and Bell locked together, door to door, as they head into three. Nobody giving an inch there.
Start your engines as the Cracker Barrel 400 NASCAR triple header this May 29th through the 31st storms into Nashville Super Speedway, where horsepower meets Music City rhythm. 3 days, three races. It's a high-speed honky-tonk under the lights all weekend long. Get your tickets at NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or call 866-RACETICKS today.
I'm Denny Hamlin, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm David Stiles, and each weekday, Andrew Kurland and I bring you the biggest stories from the garage on our daily show, Garage Pass.
I finally got onto a smooth road and just did one of those knotters and woke up tumbling, you know, out through the middle of the desert, and we had literally a vehicle that would move down the race course and chase you. Well, our chase truck got into a fender bender in a small little town, and the guys got locked up in jail.
That's PRN's Garage Pass right here.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
Before we jump into green flag, black flag, I did want to ask Brad and Alexis about the IndyCar NASCAR doubleheader weekend that we just witnessed at Phoenix. Brad, let's start with you. Your take on having these two major series at the same track on the same weekend.
I love it. I don't think we need to have this all the time. I think IndyCar can stand on its own at plenty of events for sure. But this is what made it perfect. It wasn't just because it was Penske perfect and Penske winning both poles and both races between IndyCar and the NASCAR Cup Series. We talk a lot about short track racing in the Cup car in the Gen 7 era and how it is vastly improved now with different downforce, horsepower, and tire packages. Guess what? IndyCar made some tweaks as well. The last time they were at Phoenix Raceway, the last few times they were at Phoenix Raceway, it was pretty much a mat it to the floorboard kind of a race, and the fastest car won. This was one heck of an event. What they did from a technical perspective to those race cars made it really racy and reminded me just how much I love oval open wheel racing. So I'm here for more of it. Maybe twice a year, something like that. I'm okay with it, but I thought it was a lot of fun and made for a great weekend.
I agree. I enjoyed watching it. And you know, just the Penske perfect that everybody keeps talking about. It was not easy for Penske to get these wins this weekend. I mean, I think Joseph restarted eighth on that final restart in the Indy car race and was able to race his way back up and win. And obviously we've well documented Ryan Blaney's troubles with his loose wheels and things. So, 60th anniversary for them. They were able to go out and get things done when they needed to get them done. So it was a big weekend for them. But I think it was a big weekend, too, for anybody that was there in attendance, because they got a lot for their ticket price that they paid. And they should have been, and I believe they were, thoroughly entertained.
I will be shocked if IndyCar didn't pick up a few fans.
Yeah.
Is it a huge sway? Probably not. But to Brad's point, the race was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the whole thing, and I was enthralled by it. They had people that charged from the back and came to the front. There were sad stories. You had the guy that's dominated that series, Alex Palou, crash out, and he crashed himself out.
Rasmussen looked like he was going to have an amazing day, and then it didn't work out for him, and he had lots of emotion afterwards and post-race. Yeah, it was interesting.
So I liked it, and I agree with what you guys said. Couple of times a year, I think this would be really nice to cross-pollinate. I still would like to see a race where an IndyCar driver says, hey, put me in a stock car.
Right.
Yes.
And let's go the other way with it. We've done that, but let's swap out a little bit. All right. So all in all, it gets a solid A- for me. All right. Let's do this now.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All righty, fasten your seatbelts. Here we go again. Got several prepared statements here from a vastly experienced panel of writers. Going to float those in front of our team right now. If they agree with it, they give it a green flag. If they disagree, it gets one of these black flags. If they all are on the same page. All right, here we go. Brad Gilley, you're up first. The next, ladies and gentlemen, the next new winner for 2026 is Joey Logano.
Black flag.
Oh.
I know he's won the Pennzoil 400 twice, and that's where we're going this weekend in Las Vegas. Go look at Kyle Larson's stats when it comes to Las Vegas. I would find it hard-pressed to believe that he will not be in victory lane this weekend.
Doug Rice.
No, because his name's not Carson Hocevar.
Oh.
Oh, wow. From the top row. Look at that.
All my chips to the middle of the table since we're going to Vegas on Hocevar.
My cha-ching. Goodness.
I love it.
Oh, Alexis, here we go.
Well, yeah, I mean, just so we can hear that wow sound effect, I'm going to say no, he's not going to win, and I'm going to go even maybe a little crazier than Doug, and I'm going to say Josh Berry gets a second win.
Josh Berry!
All over the board we go.
That'd be very nice.
That would be very nice.
He did it last year.
He did, yeah.
All right. Tyler Reddick, Doug Rice, is 3-and-done.
Mm. Ooh, God, I want to say yes, but I'm going to say black flag because I think they're gonna win a couple of more.
That was an opportunity for you to kick someone out of victory lane, Doug. I know you love to do that.
I wanted to put up the fence and not let him win, but I think they're good enough. They'll win anything.
I can just see how it pains you to
give
him.
It hurts me to say that he's going to win again. Not that I don't like Tyler Reddick, but
you got to be the grumpy old man, you know?
Yeah. Get off my lawn.
I'm going to say black flag. Yes, I'm going to say Black Flag. I think he does win again this season. I'm not going to predict where, but we have lots of races left to go, so I think he'll make his way back to victory lane.
All right, Brad?
I'm going to say Black Flag because right now I feel like Toyota is bringing the fastest race cars to the racetrack, and more specifically, 2311 and that number 45.
All right, here we go. Alexis, you're up. Hendrick will wait until April to see a win.
Yeah, I'm going to say green flag on that. You know, I know Brad's really high on Kyle Larson for this weekend, and perhaps that could happen. But yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say green flag. Why not?
All right, Brad, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to say black flag based on prior statements, and I'm going to say they're going to wait until March 15th, which is this Sunday.
Oh, okay. Doug Rice.
Give me the question again because I don't know how to answer.
Okay, Hendrick will wait until April to see a win.
Green flag. Actually, I think it's going to be May. I've not seen a lot of fast cars from these guys. I think they're in for a little bit of a bumpy ride right now.
Okay. All right. Very, very good. Let's go to Brad Gilley on this one. Move the championship race back to Phoenix.
Green flag. And this one makes me laugh in so many ways. Yes, what an amazing event that we saw at Phoenix yesterday. And I will say the same about the finale. And this is a track where I, for 6 years, went, why are we going back to Phoenix again? Now, can we go back to Phoenix more? I'm loving what we're seeing.
Okay, Doug Rice.
Black flag. I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment. I'm not getting caught up. I thought the race was fabulous, but I've seen a lot of dog races out there too. So for right now, no, let's keep it at Homestead and see what happens.
Alexis.
Yeah, black flag. I agree. It's not just what have you done for me lately, which I know we like to look at a lot. But I think Homestead is going to put on a pretty good show too. So.
All right, Doug, we'll get time for this one. Let's do this. I am planning to go see the Elvis movie.
There's
it's coming out.
There's an Elvis movie coming
out. Okay. One?
It is, what is it called?
It is a documentary that features live footage from Elvis's concerts late in his career. Not exactly fat Elvis, but not skinny Elvis. Either.
Didn't they just have one of those that was like on PBS during the donation drive?
I'm not enthralled with Elvis, so I will not be going. Although, if you watch this new series on Hulu called Paradise, There's an Elvis theme that runs all the way through it. It's very good.
I was gonna say Black Flag because I have gotten my Elvis fix from Paradise.
And there's also an Elvis theme in Fallout, the television show. There are Elvis zombies in there.
I have not started watching season two yet, but I need to get on that. Fallout is also very good.
Yeah, hey, I hope we see some Elvises this weekend. And as has happened in the past, they call you Doug Price.
Oh, you definitely will see some Elvises this weekend, Brad.
Oh, that's right. We're in Las Vegas.
That's why we did the question.
They hired possibly the world's worst Elvis impersonator to come over.
It was the best thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
Yeah, you say worst.
The best part was the whole time he called him Doug Price.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was because he thought that's what his name was or he thought it was funny. Either way, it was hilarious.
I was so uncomfortable. I was really wanting this person to go away. Just go away. I cannot hear Love Me Tender again or anything else.
Bless.
So, why did I
we hit your nerves?
It was literally a singing telegram, right?
Yeah.
So, Brad, you have a mission this weekend. Should you choose to?
No, we're good.
Only if we can find the same guy.
The only thing that would wig me out worse would be Showgirls. I do not like Showgirls.
Is it kind of like a mascot thing?
It's kind of like a clown thing.
I was going to say, if we got bad Elvises, Showgirls, and clowns.
Ooh.
And Doug all in the same room.
I don't know that I get back home from that. I don't know that I could survive that. I do not like Showgirls. I think they're creepy. They're also very, very tall, or they have the appearance of being very, very tall. And they wig me out just a little bit.
Yeah, I can say I don't like clowns. Showgirls, that's fine. But clowns,
I'm on board with it all.
No.
Doug, you're up.
All right. We'll be right back.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
What makes Toyota Racing Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
This is PRN's Alexis Erickson, and if your life looks anything like mine, you are always on the go. So take advantage of the PRN mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast while you're on the go, making sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. You also get station listings and on-demand access to your favorite PRN shows like Garage Pass, PRN's At the Track, and Fast Talk with Doug Rice, Brad Gilley, and myself. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips by downloading the PRN mobile app today. Available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
When NASCAR hits Dover Motor Speedway, get ready for all-star intensity at the Monster Mile, May 15th through 17th. See the sport's biggest names battle it out. It's more than a race, concerts, autograph sessions, tailgates, and nonstop action all weekend long. Experience NASCAR the way it's meant to be, live and in person at Dover. Get your tickets now at DoverMotorSpeedway.com. That's DoverMotorSpeedway.com.
Thanks again for tuning in to Fast Talk. We have a lot of fun each week, and we try to be slightly irreverent and give you a little bit different tone than maybe your typical sports talk show does. So thanks for indulging us, and we have a good time. And sometimes, keep in mind, our tongues are firmly inserted in our cheeks. And not all of this is to be taken at face value. So just go that way. Let's do this right now.
One last thing.
Brad Gilley, as you are sitting on your luggage getting ready to head to Las Vegas Motor Speedway, what do you got for one last thing?
So my one last thing, I've made a conscious effort this year to watch more sports and things that I don't normally, because we just live and get, you know, sucked up into this NASCAR and IndyCar world and so on and so forth. But I love motorcycles. So I signed up for the Moto America app to be able to watch all the races this past weekend during Bike Week in Daytona. They had the Daytona 200, a very legendary race. As part of that, they have all these classes. The King of the Baggers, which are like big Harleys and Indians. The Hooligan Race, which are stripped down versions of those motorcycles. In fact, Arch Motorcycles, which Keanu Reeves owns, they're a part of that. But the Daytona 200 is a very special race, and it's been run for many, many decades. And Alexis, you might have to help me with this. Is this month or this past weekend International Women's Day?
The month.
I just don't want to be wrong about that. Mm-hmm. But what I want to recognize is a young woman from the United States named Kayla Yakov. She became the first woman to ever podium in the Daytona 200 and did it in a very spectacular way. It was an amazing battle in the closing laps going around the 3.4-mile Daytona road course to watch that happen. But that's a big, big deal. There are not many times that firsts can happen, and this was a first in something that's been going on for decades now. And she and honestly the rest of that 40-bike field should be commended. They put on a hell of a race this weekend.
It's kind of funny that was your one last thing, because mine is the theme of just because something's hard doesn't mean it can't be done. You know, I'm trying to tell my son, who's 4, he gives up on things really easily. And I try to tell him, just because something's hard or because something is, stopping you from doing what you want to do, just keep trying. I think about Brian Blaney this weekend, he very easily could have given up and said, you know, my pit crew's not doing what I need them to do. My team is not rallying around me. These things aren't happening. And he didn't do that. He continued to fight. He continued to persevere. And he ended up winning the race. Obviously, that's a wonderful story that Brad told, you know, about that woman who was able to accomplish that. So, yeah, if something's hard, just because it's hard doesn't mean it can't be done. It just means you got to keep trying. That's all.
An easy decision for you to make is if you vacation in Las Vegas and you're a race fan, if you're listening to the show, you're probably a race fan. And I'll say it. Stay at the South Point. They get it. You can park there. It doesn't. You don't have to pay a fortune. They treat you like human beings. A lot of folks on the Strip don't. South Point is the exception.
It's where the racers stay.
PRN hangs out there, too. Hey, we're racers.
We'll be at the roulette table.
Yes, we will.
Can't wait.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.